Should you ever set foot outside of the hotel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow, now streaming on Paramount Plus, only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
On May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil, returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.
Good morning. It is Friday, August 12th. You're listening to the College Football Daily. I'm your host, Lance Glynn. Before we start, I just want to remind everyone to like and subscribe to the 24/7 Sports YouTube channel and make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the College Football Daily on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts. On today's episode, I'm happy to be joined by Doug Bowman. He covers Virginia Tech for 24/7 Sports, VTScoop.com. Doug, how are we doing? Thanks so much for coming on. Really appreciate it.
We're doing good. Thanks for having me on.
So, Doug, first and foremost, I want to start with Justin Fuente out and obviously Brent Pry in. To you, what's been different so far this offseason and in camp? You know, what's been the biggest changes you've noticed with Virginia Tech football in this new regime?
Yeah, it seems like there's been a brand new attitude, a brand new atmosphere around the program since Fuente, kind of fizzled out there at the end of his tenure. Pry has a lot of energy, a lot of optimism, brand new coaching staff, too, for the most part. I think the energy, it's kind of breathed some life back into the program, I feel like. Definitely seems like a return to, given Brent Pry spent 3 years as a GA under Frank Beamer and Bud Foster back in the 90s. Seems like a concerted effort to kind of get back to that defensive first, lunch pail work ethic mentality there. It seems like a new lease on life for a lot of the players. There's a lot of veteran players that have been around for a while, and they're getting one last shot at this thing with a new coach and, all that optimism that mostly comes along with a new coaching staff and new perspective.
Yeah, a new vision when you bring in a new coach, some new promise as well. And I want to start with the offense when we look at the team as a whole. And like the change at head coach, there's also going to be a change at quarterback. Braxton Burmeister, is out. He transferred to San Diego State, making Brent Pry need to start fresh with a new signal caller. A starter hasn't been named yet, I don't think, but what can you tell us about the participants in the competition and who you think has the leg up as fall camp continues?
Yeah, it's a two-horse race right now, but it seems like one is a few lengths ahead. It's Grant Wells. He's a transfer from Marshall. He's competing with Jason Brown, who spent last year at South Carolina. Coming out of the spring, it seemed like Wells had a substantial lead. Quarterbacks coach Brad Glenn even said during the offseason that, if they had to pick someone and then they pretty much knew who it was going to be. And that's assumed to be Wells. I'd expect a decision here fairly soon, given that, just so they can move forward under one starter. Wells spent a couple years at Marshall, pretty productive. The one concern with him is his interception numbers. I think he threw 22 interceptions over two seasons. So ball security seems to be the big concern, but he certainly brings a little more big play potential. He's a better runner than you would think. Brent Pry specifically called out his ability to throw the ball down the field. So I think Virginia Tech is willing to live with some of those mistakes if they continue, as long as they're contained as best as possible, if they can get a little more big play potential than they had last year. Burmeister played most of the year with a hurt shoulder and was, largely limited passing the ball. And that really hamstrung last year's offense. But it seems like this year they're making efforts to build a more explosive offense behind Wells.
And look, coaches like to do it differently, but you would expect that an announced starter is a starter is named prior to, the beginning of the season, because some coaches, especially new coaches, they try to rewrite the book and wait literally till that first snap of the first game to name a starter. But you would expect one named prior to that so that they can kind of just move forward as the first team offense.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, given what it seemed like the competition was with Wells pretty comfortably ahead. You know, you leave it open over the summer and into the early weeks of fall camp, I guess, just to continue that competition and all that stuff where you're building a culture as a first year head coach. But, you know, I think here, you know, we're getting 3 weeks before opening kickoff at Old Dominion. I think it makes a lot of sense, particularly if it's going to be Wells. He's a guy with 3 years of eligibility left. And if you can kind of get him rolling, you know, maybe you find your quarterback of the future for the next couple of years. So I don't see them waiting and keeping everybody on their toes until opening kickoff.
So obviously we know the quarterback competition. So let's put that to the side. Outside of that unit, what would you pinpoint as the biggest weakness on offense? Is running back, receiver, offensive line? Which position group do you worry about the most heading into the season?
Definitely the offensive line. They're in a precarious spot there. They feel decent about kind of their starting five. Silas Jansen at left tackle. Jesse Hansen is going to be a first-time starter at left guard. Johnny Jordan is back for a sixth year at center. And then Caden Moore and Parker Clements round out that first five. After that, it's anybody's guess. One injury, one player being less effective than they hoped for. I mean, this is a house of cards that could fall apart pretty quickly in terms of just what the struggles on the offensive line could be this year. Jansen is the, you know, assumed anchor of the offensive line at left tackle, but he's played a lot of snaps at Virginia Tech, and there's still a question mark of whether he's a better guard than he is a tackle. So a lot of uncertainty there. One wrong, you know, roll of the knee or turn of the ankle or anything like that, and, you know, nobody really knows who the sixth or seventh offensive lineman there is right now. So I think, you know, they brought in Joe Rudolph as the offensive line coach from Wisconsin, obviously a great pedigree there, but he's got a tough job to work with this year. And I think it's a lot of hoping that the injury bug stays away.
We're going to talk more Virginia Tech with Doug Bowman when we come back.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick Six, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick Six has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick Six is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.
Joined by Doug Bowman of 24/7 Sports, VTScoop.com, covering the Virginia Tech Hokies. Moving to the defense, Doug, Brent Pry comes over with obviously a defensive background, right? Spent plenty of years as Penn State's defensive coordinator with James Franklin. Chris Marv is also brought in as the defensive coordinator for Virginia Tech. In your mind, is this just Marv running Brent Pry's defense, or is it more of a collaboration? Because I think that with his background and the fact that he's a new head coach, I feel like a lot of times when you have a new head coach, they tend to lean towards the side of the ball that they're most comfortable with. And obviously with Pry, that would be defense. So I'm going to assume that even if it's not his defense and it's a collaboration, Pry would want a lot of input on that side of the ball.
He's going to have a ton of input. You know, Pry's even admitted he's probably, or in all likelihood, calling the plays during year one. Seems like, you know, Chris Marv played for Pry at Vanderbilt, was a linebacker with him, and he brought him in as defensive coordinator. He's 32 years old. Seems like Pry is not quite ready to turn over the reins to him just yet. He always says that he hopes to do it one day. Doesn't know when that will be, but he feels like this first year, it'll probably be beneficial for Virginia Tech for him to be the one calling the defense. So, I expect it to be, you know, mostly prize defense in every way and shape possible. And Marv, you know, kind of learning from Pry as he goes along to prepare for one day down the road, you know, taking over those play calling duties. So that's one of the things to watch for Brent Pry in year one is how he, you know, he's the first time head coach and he's essentially still the defensive coordinator on game day. So we'll see how that preparation throughout the week with all that head coach has to be responsible for, as well as keeping an eye on the offense. And then he's got to be ready to go for 60 minutes on Saturdays as the defensive coordinator calling the plays. So one of those underlying stories to watch. And, you know, I'm sure Marv will call some plays at some point during the season, but it's going to be, for the most part, Brent Pry leading the defense.
It's a lot on Brent Pry's plate. I'll tell you, every Saturday, like you said, he's got to manage both units leading up. And then obviously on Saturday, if he's calling the defense, he's got to worry about the offense as well. Can't just be that one side of the ball. So a lot on Pry's plate in his first year. And I asked you the same thing with the offense, but now defensively, what would you pinpoint as the biggest weakness? You know, which unit worries you the most on that side of the ball?
You know, it's an interesting group on the defensive side of the ball because they have a lot of experience back. Norrell Pollard, a defensive tackle, Ty Garbutt, a defensive end, Dax Holifield, and Alan Tisdale at linebacker, and, you know, even Shamari Connor in the defensive backfield. They have a lot of guys that have played a ton of snaps. Now, you know, it's a lot of guys that have been a key part of defenses that went 24 and 23 over the last 4 years. So the big question for me is how much better can those guys play, or are they just tapped out development? Are they what they are at this point? You know, Holifield and Tisdale at linebacker have basically been the linebacker unit for the last 3 years. And there's a couple guys like Jaden Keller, who's an impressive redshirt freshman that's kind of competing with Tisdale to take some snaps. But it just feels like at every level of the defense, that's the big question. If the veterans can play better than they've played to date under a new coaching staff for whatever reason, this could be a better defense than it's been in a number of years. You know, Pry talks about he's usually a 40%, over 40% pass rush, getting pressure on the passer kind of guy. And there's not a proven pass rusher for Virginia Tech. There's not a, you know, I think the high over the last few years was 7.5 sacks on the team. So how are they going to generate pressure bringing guys from the second level? Certainly a defensive end doesn't seem like they have just one guy they can rely on. So, you know, we'll see how it shakes out as far as the veterans and the pass rush goes.
So Doug, I'll end it on this one. A new coach in Brent Pry, as we've mentioned, what are the expectations in your mind for year one? Are there still bowl expectations, obviously having made one last year, or are fans, I guess, understanding that this could potentially be a multi-year rebuild, obviously with a whole new staff in place?
I think a bowl season would be a worthy accomplishment right now. I think most people expect this to be a multi-year rebuild for some of the same reasons I talked about on the defense. You know, you just have a ton of veterans that have been a part of a 500 roster for the last 3 or 4 years. So if the status quo remains, they're probably a 6-6 team in a bowl game, which is great. I think the goal would be to get a bowl and also establish kind of the link to the next core. You know, I mentioned Keller at linebacker. If he can step up and develop over the course of the season where you feel better about him going into the future, there's a handful of guys like that. Defensive end Cole Nelson, a sophomore, he's going to be a first-year starter at defensive end. How does he look? You're looking at, you know, trying to figure out a way to get to 6 wins while also kind of establishing who that next core is going to be, both defensively and offensively.
You can follow him on Twitter at Doug Bowman 247. Doug, thanks so much for coming on. Really appreciate you joining me.
Thanks.
Remember to give us a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts, and like and subscribe to the 247 Sports YouTube channel. For Doug Bowman, I am Lance Glynn. Thanks for listening to the College Football Daily. Have a good weekend, everyone.
Baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.